Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our beloved, dear Heavenly Father, you have led our footsteps to this place this morning. You have brought us before thy word, and for this we wish to thank thee. We thank thee for the word that is spoken to thy glory this day. Dear Father, as we begin to read your undying and holy word, we pray unto thee, grant unto our very own address that portion that we so sorely need at this moment. We pray unto thee, dear Father, that you would open thy word, so that we may be strengthened in faith, and that we can continue to believe one more moment. Remember, dear Father, all of us that are here, all of those that are left there at home who are not able to come here. Remember, dear Father, all those who are in a faraway place. Remind them and encourage them, and encourage and remind all of us that you have not forgotten us. For the many blessings that you have granted into our lives, we wish to thank you this morning, above all, for the greatest gift that we can own, the gift of living faith, and for thy Son, who you brought down to this earth to live, to suffer, and to die, and to make known unto mankind that he is the salvation that we depend on. For this, dear Father, above all, we thank thee. Amen. Before I will read the Bible text, I want to bring you greetings, as I have not been able to bring those greetings to you until now. We were able to go to Florida for Christmas, where my parents also traveled to, and we met them there along with about 20 other Swedish children of God. And possibly about 50 or 60 Finnish people, and the rest were people from Canada and America. We had During the days of Christmas, we had five services, and in a place where there are not too many residents that are believers that live in the state of Florida year-round, during that time there were over 100 people that were gathered there, and many of them asked that their greetings would be brought to you. Also, shortly after arriving home from there, we were invited to Alaska, and it is a relatively small congregation, and even a short period of time that we were there, we were able to see and sense some of the benefits that a smaller congregation has an effect on. It is a very close group that is there, and we were able to see that they depended on one another, and they truly appreciate those friends that are there. And it was a very, very good experience to see how they take care of one another. And it was also very interesting to note that as we gathered for services there, they are renting a church, which is beginning to get a little bit small for their size. I think there are about 130 people there altogether who are believers, that God's creation, the scenery that is there, has brought them all together to that location. God has remembered them, and they certainly enjoy the visitors, and they show great hospitality for us that go there for a visit. So very, very warm, greetings from there. And last weekend, or the weekend before, I was in Elk River. Greetings of love and God's peace from there also. For our text, I thought I would read from the second chapter of Luke. I will read from verse 25 until verse 34. We will quiet and listen and hear these words in Jesus' name as follows. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Amen. When we were in Alaska, one of the believers there told us that a brother from Elk River had come to Alaska for vacation, for a fishing trip. And while he was there, another brother from Rockford called him and asked him something, possibly a favor. And this brother from Elk River said that he is not able to because he is in Alaska right now. So this other brother asked him then if he had served those believers in Alaska. And he said that no, he hasn't, at least not yet, he hasn't been asked to serve. So then this Rockford brother very, very simply, but very effectively painted a picture for him. He said that those believers in Alaska, they listen to internet services every Sunday. And he said that is, to me, like fast food, that you certainly can survive. Of course you can survive with fast food. But every now and then, they would really, really appreciate a home-cooked meal. In our area where we are, we do have speaker brothers that God has blessed into our congregation. And each one of us feel that we don't have what it takes to be in this place. But it is important for us to remember that we just need to serve that home-cooked meal. We don't have to make it. It has already been prepared and made, and we just need to serve that meal. This is the food that we receive in the services that we attend, whichever way we hear the sermon. This is the food that we need And that is the prayer that we have again this morning to our Heavenly Father, is that He would open His Word and give us that portion, that food that we need for our souls. This portion of Scriptures speaks of a man, an older man, we can assume, whose name was Simeon. It was a time when Jesus was brought to the temple for the very first time in His life. Jesus was not able to go to the temple by Himself yet. He was 40 days old or so. And He was brought to the temple to... One of the reasons was that the custom at that time was that they would thank God for this gift that this family had received. But Jesus was also brought not only to the temple, but brought into the world for this reason, that the world at that time needed light. It needed the brightness of God that only God can bring into the world. As we wake up to this day, in this area right now, the sun is shining. It is a very, very bright day, especially with the snow, the white snow that reflects the sunlight. Jesus was brought, He was born into the world to bring light. The time that we live in is in desperate need of light. A light that is not showing when you are in the darkness of unbelief, regardless of the amount of sunlight that God creates. Just a little while ago, a few short weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of Christ, which was God showing His salvation unto mankind. And He brought the light and the hope in this way to a world that desperately needed it. But it was not only brought into the darkness of the world to show those on the outside of God's kingdom where hope and peace can be found. But it was also brought to us that are in the kingdom of God today. If Christ would not have been born, we would be in a very, very hopeless situation. So, after the birth, they brought Him to the temple in Jerusalem. According to the law, as our text says, His parents brought Him, the child Jesus, into the temple and to do for Him after the custom of the law. This was a very common sight that these children, the newborn children, would be brought into the temple. Among many other reasons as to why they were brought there. I believe that the most notable reason was to thank God for the gift of life. And regardless of the religious belief that the people in this world have, this is a very good tradition that they would keep, a good starting point, if you will, to thank God for the gift of life. We understand it in this way, that when a baby is conceived, it is already life. God has already created life. And it is a living being already when it is carried by the mother of the child. It is also very sad to see that in our world, when gift of life is growing, that people, due to my schedule, due to my level of income, due to my future plans that I have, that so many times they reject the gift of God into their own life. In other words, they say that I don't want this gift that God is giving us. And they deny this little life. When we look around in our own congregation, we can see the many gifts of life that God has given unto us. Not only to your parents, although there are so many times when us as parents, when we look at our own little children and we realize how much they can teach us in our own endeavor of faith. Very simple examples sometimes. And isn't it so that sometimes they need to be simple for us to understand? But also to you that do not have your own children, you can reap the benefits of the gifts that God has given into our own congregation. The friends that can help you, and the many examples that they can teach you by endeavoring to journey as a life, as a child of God. When Jesus was brought to the temple, as we mentioned, it was a very common sight. Little children being brought into the temple soon after they were born. So those others that were in the temple, they were able to see that children, they came and they went. And nothing was anything different. But there was this one man whose name was Simeon. And it says that this man, Simeon, he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. God had told Simeon that you will see a Christ child before you die. So now Simeon, I'm assuming that he was getting fairly old. And at some point he was promised that before you die, you will see the Lord's Christ. So now he was waiting. Waiting to see a child, or waiting to see Christ before his days were over on this earth. So now the children were being brought into the temple, one after another, week after week, year after year. And they all, from afar, they looked the same. There was nothing different. How would Simeon know? How would he know that it would be a little baby? His carnal mind could not know. And we would not know in any way unless God reveals this. The parents of Jesus, they were no different. They were not extraordinary in any way. But it was a carpenter and his young wife. It is only through the Spirit of God that it can be understood and felt that this is the Christ child. When we look around our world, there are so many different churches and so many different places. It is only the Spirit of God that we who dwell within God's kingdom, that we can feel that this is where Jesus is. This is where we can find true peace, a truth. This is the only place where the forgiveness of sins from God can be given unto us. Do we have to look any further? Do we have to go somewhere else? Nowhere on earth can forgiveness of sins be preached than in the kingdom of God. Because those who dwell within the kingdom of God, they have the very same exact spirit as God does. When we think of God, we think of someone who can do things that we can't even imagine. Someone who can create this world out of nothing by only His Word. Someone who can make the trees fall asleep in the winter and again awake come spring and summer. His Spirit is the same Spirit that dwells in us this day. Remember, dear brother and dear sister, to give thanks unto God for granting you this Spirit. This is the Spirit that will carry you all the way to the shores of heaven one day. If we didn't have this Spirit, we would be hopeless. We would be destined for eternal damnation in hell. So many things, even as we get older, we need to be reminded time and time again. Not necessarily because we forget, but we take things for granted so easily. And our own busyness of life comes in the way that we forget to thank God for all the gifts that He has given us. And I think in this way, that if we would be aware of everything that God does for us very, very personally, if we would be aware of all those things, we would pray and thank God constantly, every second of the day. We would thank God for everything that He does for us. That is how much He does. And so seldom we take the time to put our hands together, even to offer a simple thanks. The people that were in the temple at the time when Jesus was brought there was, for the most part, ignored by others because He was no different from others. He was not brought by glitter and gold and pomp, or any kind of entourage showing that this child is very different from any other children that had been brought to this temple. His parents were no different. There was nothing about them that said that this is the Son of God. They didn't look any different. I think we can say that to the world, even this day, we don't look any different. We look very ordinary at best. But yet, when the Spirit of God does not reveal the treasure that we own when we are in God's kingdom, We don't look any different. It is no different for them. And it is also important for us that are pardoned sinners that beg for the gospel, that we don't feel that we are any better than those who are not in the kingdom of God. We are just as prone to sin as they are. Many of our thoughts are evil. They are corrupt and sinful. In this way, we are no different. In fact, many times we feel that we are much worse than those who do go to church in other places. It is very important that we humble ourselves and realize that we are in constant need of the forgiveness of sins. We are no better, and in many ways we are no different from anyone else. But we are different in this way, that the Spirit of God dwells here. It cares for all of us. There is not one here today that the Spirit of God does not care for. Sometimes we need to be taught and stopped, rebuked, instructed of the way to heaven. And remember, when these instructions come, oh, how easily it would attach to our own flesh. And we begin to think, we get hurt that we are being instructed in a very childlike way. But as one brother once mentioned, and it stuck into my mind even now, a year or two later, that if I need to be instructed, please come and correct my ways. Don't worry about hurting my flesh, my pride. It is staying here. The most important matter is that I will get to heaven. Help me to get to heaven. It would be good if all of us would remember that there is nothing that is more important than that we would help one another to get to heaven. There is nothing that is more important. Nothing at all. Simeon had been waiting for this moment for the Christ to appear so that he would be able to see him. His eternal life depended on seeing him, because he had been promised that he would see him before he died. And after living a long life, he now said, And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Spirit of God revealed to Simeon that this child that you see right now, it is the Son of God. Simeon hesitated not one moment, because the Spirit of God, that was the teacher in his heart, said to him that this is the one you have been waiting for. Now I would ask you that have been in the world, when you have found the kingdom of God, when you have been preached the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of unbelief, did you not also, did not the Spirit of God speak to you in this way, that this is what you have been waiting for? Your prayers have been answered. This is your new home. This is home. You don't need to look any further. Simeon felt the same way. He went and he took this little baby into his arms and he thanked God that God had been faithful to him. Of course, there are times when he would wonder. He would doubt that, will this really be? Am I really going to see, even after being promised that he would see the Lord Christ before he died? Of course he doubted. He doubted because he was like you and I. We doubt. Simeon was no different. But when we have received the forgiveness of sins, and our conscience is again made tender and ready to fight sin, we would say, like Simeon did, we would thank God that He has preserved us once again. Ready, if our call would come at that moment to depart from this world, we would say that we are ready to depart. Many of those who have lived a very long life and they are at their last few moments on this earth, we have heard so many times how the enemy of souls does not leave them alone even at this time. And the forgiveness of sins cannot be preached often enough. So many times they beg for the gospel that can I yet believe one more time and one more time. And in between the times, they would say that I am ready to go. I'm ready to leave. I'm travel ready. Simeon did also. He said, now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That is when we are ready to leave from here. When we have felt that we have once again, we have peace with God. There is nothing within ourselves that is judging us in this way, that is judging ourselves, that there is one matter that you have not yet put away. But when you have, that's when we feel that now we have peace with God and we are ready to leave. Simeon continues that and says that God has prepared this before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Christ was born for everyone. It wasn't born only for us that are believing this day, but for every person, so that they would have the hope of eternal life in heaven, if they would only humble themselves to believe that Jesus died for their sins. And then the Spirit of God would open their heart to understand, and they would be convicted by the Spirit of God in this way, that you yet need to repent from your sins in unbelief. Christ was born for everyone. But as we see, and as the Bible says, that so many are called, but few are chosen. There are very few that heed to the instruction to put your sins away and come live in the kingdom of God. In our last verse, where it says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." The road to heaven is narrow. We cannot deviate. We cannot leave from this narrow road and try to reach heaven some other way. The road to destruction is very wide, and many travel on that road. There are so many that do not need the simple gospel for themselves. They believe that they, through their own works, they have enough to reach heaven. This is what Jesus was looking at when that, before his Passion Week began, he was on the Mount of Olives. He was taking in Jerusalem and the people within the city of Jerusalem. Jesus realized that there are so many there that will reject me. They don't need me. And the Bible says that Jesus began to cry because so many were on their way to destruction. So this morning, dear travel friends, let us make those promises that Jesus does not need to cry for our behalf. Let us put those sins away so that we can once reach heaven and to see Him and all those who have died one time. We will once see them. Uplift your weary heart and your doubtful mind. All your sins, all your doubts, all your faults and lackings are forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, your sins are forgiven. Continue to believe. If not, for one more day, for this very moment, believe that your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And if you need to hear this message yet today, ask another child of God, and they will be more than glad to bless you one more time. And I know that there are those who are listening to this that are not here, gathered this morning, listening in your own homes, even if you are not here, this message also belongs to you. All your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. It is such a secure place to dwell in God's kingdom, because this is the only place where all those obstacles that are before us this day and heaven, they can be removed in the kingdom of God. They can be removed not only here at these services, but also there at home. The kingdom of God is just as important, as effective there at home or at work or wherever you are, wherever there is another child of God, the kingdom of God is there. So put your sins away as they attach, wherever it may be. Make your steps light and believe that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Can I also believe my many sins and doubts forgiven? In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.